realize coming from a small, with relatively smaller geographical country, that is that Canada was so spread out culturally and musically that, you know, you could have a band that was huge in Vancouver or, you know, in locally. And in that day, you could go on up and down the West Coast, right?
Yeah.
And yet, so many regional bands. And it does apply to, it's got to do with the geography, right? So,
it does. We're spread out not only musically, but we're spread out geographically right. as well. There's no escaping that. And like your point about not many people, you know, knowing this or knowing that, you know, a friend of mine just said, you know, in a message to me the other day, I'm thinking about, you know, doing something, and is Vancouver close to you?
No.
No, it's not.
Well, I mean, one of the benefits is, I mean, there aren't many benefits from COVID, but what it did do is was enable musicians without really much of a choice to start looking at streaming. And that's, I was doing streaming way before COVID, but a lot of musicians all of a sudden didn't really have a choice. And now, as you say, you don't have to get those musicians in your studio anymore.
No, that's right.
You just say, send them the bed track or even just a rough MP3, and they can play to it and give you a superior, if because we've got, you know, most of us have got some level of home studio. It's so accessible these days.
It's great.
And I do. My setup here is not as extensive as yours, but I use it for my radio show. But the same technology, I got a friend who's a sax player in, and we've just recorded like 20, 30 songs just with just one channel and one mic, and just plays over the tracks that I have created in Logic. I mean, it's really become a cottage industry again, where, you know, there used to be small studios in garages and not these big, huge, massive studios that only certain levels of success would allow you to access. And I think that's where this prog rock is really kind of, you know, excelling, is that we can do stuff in studios that we have access to that we never would have been able to do 20, 30 years ago.
Right? Absolutely. And I mean, it certainly allows somebody like me in a, you know, let's face it, a niche part of the overall genre, which is a niche genre to start with, you know, instrumental prog rock. It allows me to do my own thing, and I don't have to sell it to a record company to go, hey, you want to take this on? I can just do it and put it out myself. You're right. You know, I mean, the technology is all there for that.
Right.
So, you know, and you know, it's funny, like, you know, you think a lot of musicians are, if they've attained a certain level, that they're going to be a little snobby or a little whatever. And everybody I've reached out to with my little meager project, I've, you know, like, you know, Todd from Styx or whatever, you know, I've gone, hey, are you interested in this? This is what we're doing. And, you know, I haven't been turned down yet. So I like it.
So how did you get a hold of, I know Cheryl because, through House of Prog, right?
Yep.
So, and I know she just started a new job. So, explain to me how you got in contact with those guys and what the deal is with them.
Yeah. I mean, Cheryl sort of got in contact with me, you know, around the time of the second album coming out, which is, you know, three and a half years ago now, almost four, I guess. And was just, you know, loving it and wanted to, you know, with my blessing, you know, pass it on and spread the good word. And I was like, well, you know, of course, right? You know, and, you know, then we're always just communicating back and forth on a, you know, on a friendly basis, even if there isn't anything musically happening, just checking in on each other and all that kind of stuff. And so, of course, then, you know, when the new one was out, you know, she got a digital copy and she said, oh, I want to send this to so-and-so and send this to so-and-so. And I'm like, you know.
So this is before she was kind of anything to do with the label that you're on, that distributed now.
Yes, yeah. The label that she's on, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, working for you.
I'm not on any label. I'm just a guy.
Okay. 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 My mistake is I presumed that you were part of the label she's with now.
Nope.
Oh, okay. So she recommended you out of the friendship you have,
out
I guess.
Out of the friendship and the music that had come before.
Right. Okay. Okay. That makes sense. I can see that.
I'm just an independent guy in Collingwood.
Gotcha. Collingwood, Ontario. There you go.
Yeah.
Or it's what? A balmy minus one, you say.
Right, that's right, yes.
All right, let's listen to some music. Tell me what a good track for us to listen to off this new album.
Off the new album. Okay. I'll say my favorite track is Your Personal Panacea, which has Todd Zuckerman on drums and the amazing Kelly Kreliak on most of the guitars, although the first little guitar solo is Randy McStein from Stephen Wilson's touring band. And again, I met Randy through a mutual friend, introduced us, and I said, hey, do you want to do a couple of things on the new album? And he was like, sure. So he's on that as well. And then Victoria Ye does amazing electric violin solos, and a fantastic keyboard player named Marco Luciani, who Victoria knew. He does the synth solos. I can't remember if it was a Rhodes solo on that as well, but he does the keyboard solos. I'm playing the pads, and he's doing the actual work.
Oh, okay. Well, let's have a listen. We'll be right back. Well, we are live. Well, we were live. No, we're not live. We're recording. Get with it, Ian. We're here.
And we're here in one form or another.
We're here on Zoom, and we're listening to Art Griffin's latest release. And, what was it called? My Favorite Panacea?
My Personal Panacea.
My Personal Panacea. Okay, so...
Your personal panacea.
Sure. So when you write these tunes, kind of, I mean, instrumentals have a different kind of inspiration than vocal tunes. Sure. I mean, very often when you write a vocal, some people write the music first and then write the vocal. Yeah. Some people write the vocal first and then put the music to it. So when you're doing instrumentals, where do you find how do you connect the music to the title of the song? Because that's the only really lyric that goes with it. You could call it anything, but I mean, how do you in your head connect the instrumental music to the title of the song?
Gotcha. Sometimes it's, I mean, it's just a vibe or a feeling, like the track So Fine makes me feel happy and so fine. so that was a sort of a that one presented itself, you know, easily. I always keep a big list of song titles and words that I like that work together or work off each other or something like that. Right. And so you know, I'll start a session, and of course, you know, Pro Tools wants you to name the session right away. And I'm like, damn it, I don't know yet. Mm-hmm. so I'll, that'll be the ubiquitous untitled number 99, you know what I mean? Until I get to a certain point, I go, oh, this one should be, you know, because I've sort of listened to it as it's growing, and I've looked at my list of cool, you know, song titles and gone, yeah, this one works with this, and this is how I feel about this.
Right.
And so similarly with your Personal Panacea, it's a very Jean-Luc Ponty-ish sort of track, and it sort of gives me sort of a healing vibe. I feel better after I've listened to it.
So right,
that's how the title sort of worked.
Cool.
All there. Right.
So the music itself sometimes inspires the title, and then but sometimes it's just random.
Sometimes it's just random. Yeah.
It's just interesting because, I mean, I have a process when I create my music, and I do quite a few instrumentals as well. I tend to, me personally, when I often borrow from another song and I just reword the title of that song I'm borrowing from. Of course, nobody's going to come after me for copyright because I just do it for fun. So, but it's interesting. Instrumentals are different that way, and prog rock has a lot of instrumentals. So
it does. That's right. Yeah, I mean it's sort of the weirdest part of the process for me. Like I just sent Kelly a thing yesterday, and I said, well, provisionally this is called, you know. Yeah.
I mean who would call a song Squonk? I mean,
right.
Come on.
Exactly.
You know, and then, you know, open your show with it.
Right.
All right, well, let's have a listen to one of your other instrumental tracks then. Off one of the other albums. Name one, we'll play it.
Sure. I'll name two, and you can choose.
Cause I can play both.
We were kibitzing back and forth, so off the second album is a track called JLP.
Okay, got that one.
Love that track. And okay. Jamie Glazer, who actually played guitar in JLP's band for quite a while, he does some solos on that. So okay. I highly recommend that. I love it. Maybe off the first album, there's a tune called Red Sky at Night, which is in the musician's favorite 7/8 time signature.
Right.
It's got a lot of cool oomph to it.
Okay. 7/8, okay.
Two I can recommend off the top of my head. Oh, Hi, this is Art from Art Griffin Sound Teacher, and you're listening to Ian Gregson on the Transatlantic Express Radio Show.